Okay, without wasting much time, let's continue with our Bible study, the book of Revelation chapter 2. And today we'll continue from verse 8. Revelation chapter 2. But before we start talking about the next generation, what we've been saying so far is that we are trying to understand the timetable for the church. Last week, we were able to make it clear that the church is supposed to last a period of 2 days. And these 2 days prophetically mean 2,000 years. And within this 2,000 years period that the church is supposed to be on this earth, there will be 7 different generations. That's all we are trying to say. That's all you will see in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. What some people call the church ages, some people call it the church periods, is the 7 different generations of the church of Christ. And last week, we saw the first church generation known as Ephesus. And we said the meaning of each church, the meaning of the name of each church is very significant, because those churches were not chosen by chance. In Asia Minor, where those churches were located, there were about 10 churches. You have the church of Colossae and about 10 churches altogether. But these 7 were chosen because of something significant about them. So their names matter. Praise the living God. So Ephesus was the first church generation. Between the period of AD 33, when the church started, on the day of Pentecost, till AD 170. Now, message believers, especially those that have read the Church Ages book. How many of us have read the Church Ages book by William Branham? Wow. I'm not seeing any hand up. Okay. Mommy Clara has read the Church Age. You discover that Brother Branham dated Ephesus something about AD 53 or AD 55 or thereabouts. But we said the church started on the day of Pentecost, AD 33. So the actual dates for the first church generation is supposed to be from when the church started, AD 33 to AD 170. And we said, let's have this slide on the screen again about Ephesus. And we said that Ephesus, the angel to Ephesus is Apostle Paul. Angel means messenger. There are celestial angels, there are terrestrial angels, there are heavenly angels, there are earthly angels. Your pastor is an angel because he's God's messenger to you. So the angel to the church, to the first church generation, was Apostle Paul. Beyond all reasonable doubts, it was Apostle Paul. We proved that last week. And how the Lord Jesus introduced himself to that church generation. He said he's the one that holds the 7 stars and walks in the midst of the 7 candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels to those 7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks represent those 7 churches. In other words, he is the authority behind those 7 angels, those 7 messengers. And when he says he is in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, that means Christ is present in his church. Hallelujah. So that's what we saw last week. The character of the first church generation was that it was a backsliding generation. They left their first love. We all know how the church started on the day of Pentecost. Amen. You saw how united they were. Brotherly love, brotherly kindness. The Bible said they had all things in common, such that the people magnified them. In fact, when the church started, sin could not even thrive in the church of Christ. We know of Ananias and Sapphira, who are true children of God. Just because they lied, you know, the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, many of us commit that kind of sin today. They made a vow that they will give all they have, and then, you know, after they sold their land, they gave half of it and said, this is all. Many people commit such today. When you make a vow and you're not giving an excuse tomorrow that you cannot do it, you are in the same school, the same class with Ananias and Sapphira. And you saw what happened, how instantly the Holy Ghost judged them. That was how powerful the first church generation was. It was the apostolic generation. It laid the foundation for the Christian faith. Praise the living God. It laid the foundation for the Christian faith. It gave us the constitution for the Christian faith. That was the first church generation, the apostolic generation. So it was a backsliding generation because they left their first love. The Lord Jesus told them to repent. But there were some notable occurrences in the first church generation. They tried the first apostles. The Bible said, he said, you have tried them that say they are apostles and are not. and has found them liars. And the Lord Jesus also said, you have this particular character that I like. You ate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And last week we tried to see what it meant by the deeds of the Nicolaitans. We saw that the Nicolaitans were a sect of people that were trying to divide the church. A carnal set of brethren that were trying to bring in false hierarchy into the church of Christ. And that was a deed. It was a deed in the first church generation. And the Lord Jesus hated it. And then he said the reward for the overcomers is what? The tree of life. This should let you know. You people that think that the tree of life is a physical tree. The tree of life that Adam met in the Garden of Eden. If it was indeed apple, as many people believe. So those that overcame, is it apple that the Lord will give them again? No. The life there is eternal life. Tree means source. I will give you the source of life. In other words, I will give you life eternal. Praise the living God. That was the first church generation. But there's something you should observe and note. In every church generation, in every church age, there are two categories of Christians. There are the true Christians and the false Christians, all in the same church of Christ. I want you to note that. It will guide us as we continue in this book of Revelations. It was the false Christians who were in the church that were bringing about the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were the ones trying to, like we gave example last week, where a young boy of 30 years old would be calling himself Papa, and a woman of 45 or 50, a boy of 30 would be saying, she's my daughter in the Lord. It is erroneous. It is wrong. Don't paint it, regardless of the anointing on you. It is very wrong. We are brothers and sisters. Respect the elderly people. When they're elderly to you, yes, mommy and daddy. But how do you even feel, you as a young brother in the Lord, because of anointing, you're calling somebody your son and your daughter? It's wrong. That is part of the characters of the Nicolaitans. So in every church, there are the true Christians and the false Christians. What we know in the end time message as the true vine and the false vine. You will see them manifest in every church age. So let's continue our study today. So Revelation chapter 2 from verse 8. Now we are moving to the second church generation. The first church generation was from AD 33 till AD 170. Now we are moving to the next church generation. When a church generation ends, the next one begins. Praise the Lord. And this is called minor. Let's read it. Revelation 2 from verse 8 to 11. Shall we? And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. What's the name of the church? The church in where? Chorus it if you know it now. The church in... Don't forget, the name is significant. Right. This thing saith the first and the last, which was alive, which was dead rather, and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 11. He that art an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Praise the living God. Now we are in the second church generation. What is the name of that church generation? Smyrna. Praise the living God. And the meaning of Smyrna is bitterness or myrrh. Bitterness or myrrh. You know, when the wise men visited the Lord Jesus, they gave him what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh is a bitter perfume. Praise the living God. And this particular church generation started from when the first church generation ended. From AD 170. It spanned between AD 170 to AD 312. Smyrna. It means bitterness. Hallelujah. Now, if the name of every church generation is symbolic, this should give us the character. It should make us understand what this age is. This particular generation we are looking at. Smyrna. Praise the Lord. But before we go further, the angel of this particular church generation is who we know as Irenaeus. Irenaeus. Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp. And Polycarp was a disciple of John the Beloved. Praise the Lord. Irenaeus was the messenger to that particular generation. Why is he the messenger? the choice or the criteria to selecting the angel to each generation is the closest whoever has a ministry that reflects what Apostle Paul did, the closest to Apostle Paul. Let's have that as a key. We'll check your work, we'll check your pattern, we'll check your doctrine, we'll check your life. And when is anything close to Apostle Paul, if you indeed have a light that you are shining in your generation, like I said last week, your works determine your ministry. So Irenaeus was the one chosen as the messenger to this particular church. Praise the living God. Now look at how the Lord Jesus Christ introduced himself. Let's have verse 8. Check your Bible, Revelations 2:8. How the Lord Jesus introduced himself. This thing saith what? The first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Okay? Last week, I made it clear that the first and the last is an attribute of God. We see that in Isaiah 44 verse 6, where God Almighty was saying, I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. But look at how the Lord Jesus put his own. He said, I am the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Can God die? Can God die? Answer now. So you can see the uniqueness of Christ, that he was both God and man. Praise the Lord. See God saying it. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Whenever you see the capital letters, L-O-R-D, all in capital letters, he's speaking of Yahweh or Jehovah. That's the meaning. The Lord of hosts is speaking of Yahweh or Jehovah. I am who? The first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. Thank you. But the Lord Jesus also said, I am the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So in the introduction of Christ to Smyrna, you are seeing both the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. Do you get that? You are seeing both the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. It is God that is the first and the last. But who is it that died and resurrected? That was Christ, the Son of God. So you are seeing both the divinity and the humanity of Christ. Praise the living God. Now, let's understand the character of this particular church generation. Each church generation has a unique character or has unique characteristics. Each church generation of these seven. The first church generation, we said it was a backsliding age. The foundational generation, yet a backsliding generation that left their first love. But this particular generation is also unique. Praise the living God. This generation, let's understand the character. It was a period, a bitter age filled with death. As the name implies, Smyrna. It was a period of great tribulation. It was the age of martyrdom. A bitter age filled with death. This was a generation where to be identified as a Christian meant that you have signed your death sentence. To be identified as a Christian meant you are inviting death. It was an age of great persecution upon believers. They suffered. Praise the living God. They suffered. It was an age of serious sufferings. Look at verse 9 and 10, Revelation 2. Let's read the scriptures. I know what thy works. Can we read it together? I know thy works and what? Tribulation. And what? Poverty. Can you imagine? He knows their poverty. But thou art what? Rich. And I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews. Look at verse 10 also. Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This is the character of the generation. The Lord Jesus was telling them ahead that you will suffer all this generation. You people will suffer. Can you imagine? He said, I know, and yet he did not do anything to stop it or change it. That means the destiny of that particular generation was that they should suffer. Praise the living God. They suffered for Christ's sake. If you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you have a picture of what Christians suffered. You have a picture of what Christians suffered. They tortured Christians, brothers and sisters. Several times on Rapture Watch and in Pastor Sermons, we've seen some clips of where Christians will be thrown into the lion's den, into the Roman arenas, and lions will be released to come and, you know, start devouring them. In fact, there was one I read, since I read that particular testimony, it has not left me, of a pregnant woman, was she pregnant? Or of a lady anyway, for being a Christian, was thrown into a bag full of snakes. She was thrown into a bag full of snakes, and it did not stop there. They now threw the bag into the ocean. So you can see the extent Christians went, the extent they went to in torturing Christians, rather. A pregnant woman was cut open and the baby brought out and dashed. Is it the issue of people being crucified? Polycarp was burnt at stake. They tied him and they set him on fire. They suffered. See, when we were having our opening prayer, we were saying, thank God. Thank God. Brothers and sisters, there were times. In fact, even up to now, some parts of the world, like North Korea, is a communist country. You cannot profess Christ in North Korea. They'll kill you. Even China, if you're a true Christian, they'll persecute you. The true Christians in China are underground. They are not openly practicing their religion. Praise the living God. There were times that Christians did not have a church building where they would come and gather and say, this is the church of Jesus. In the history of the church, they gathered in dens, in caves, wherever they could find themselves. Because in this particular generation, to just take the name of Christ meant that you want to die. And they died. They died. In Catholic history, it is recorded that 68 million Christians, well, that one is even Catholic. This was before the Catholic Church took root. But they suffered, brothers and sisters. That's what we see. It was an age of suffering. It was an age of serious suffering. By the time we get to Revelation chapter 6 and start studying the seals, we'll understand why this generation suffered. So it was an age of great tribulation. The Lord also said something. He said, I know thy tribulation and what? Poverty. So in this particular generation we are talking of, Christians were not affluent. Christians did not have wealth. Because one, for professing to be a Christian, the state is already against you. Praise the Lord. So how are you going to amass wealth? Christians suffered and they were really poor in this generation. It was an age of suffering. It was an age of martyrdom where Christians gladly gave their lives, gave themselves to be killed. Polycarp was an old man in his 80s. He said, deny this Jesus now so that we will let you go. He said, he has been faithful to me all my life. How can I deny him now? He even asked those that came to carry him to go and kill him, the executioners, give me whether it's 1 hour or so and let me pray. They allowed him. He prayed for those that executed him. They took him to where he was going. They did all they could. At the end, he died. He gave up his ghost. Praise the living God. It was an age of suffering. An age of poverty. It was an age where Christians literally carried the cross. Hallelujah. We don't know what we have in this generation. That you can come to church. That is why some of us, service will start by 9. Many people have not yet come. It was not so in that generation. You can't. Hallelujah. So that was the character of this particular generation called Smyrna. But let's see, notable occurrences in Smyrna. Like I said, they suffered great tribulation and poverty. 2, there's something called the blasphemy of Jews and synagogue of Satan. Let's go to verse 9 again, Revelation 2 verse 9, so that we understand what the Bible means by the blasphemy of them that are Jews. Okay, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know what? The blasphemy of them which say they are what? They are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, this particular statement is very significant. Like I said, there is always the false church and the true church together. False brethren and true brethren. And the Lord is always sending his message. People claiming to be Jews is the false church. When they claim they are Jews, they are actually claiming what? Originality. Don't forget that all the apostles were Jews. Can you see the significance of saying I am a Jew? It means I am a descendant of the apostle. Just like the Roman Catholic Church has what they call the apostolic succession. You see, Peter was the first pope, and then it kept coming up until Pope Francis today. That is false. So when they're saying they are Jews, it's the first church, the first brethren claiming originality. He says they are not Jews, but they are the synagogue of Satan. Praise the living God. What is the meaning of synagogue? Can anybody help us? Okay, Ogochukwu lifted up his hand immediately. Yes, synagogue. It says they are the synagogue of Satan.
Praise God.
Amen.
Synagogue is derived from the Greek word, which means an assembly or a gathering.
Thank you. Synagogue does not mean church. Oh, synagogue does not mean temple. Praise the living God. Synagogue means gathering, assembly. And it doesn't have to be assembly for something religious. It could be a town hall meeting. It's just a gathering, an assembly. Praise the living God. So a synagogue is not a place of worship. Note that. So that if a brother should live here tomorrow now and wants to start his church, you're not going to put synagogue, Church of Nigeria. Synagogue is not a place of worship. It's just gathering and assembly. Hallelujah. So he says they are the gathering, they are the synagogue of Satan. They are not the true church. Whether they claim that they are Jews, they are trying to claim that they are the successors of the apostles is a lie. That is the false church. In every generation, there's the false church and the true church. It's the false church that were claiming they were original. What were they doing? They were blaspheming the true church. Just like we have today, the Catholic Church will look at other churches and say, no, you people are wrong. The Catholic Church is the true church. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy because you are speaking against the true church purchased by the Holy Ghost. Praise the living God. So it's blasphemy. The false church was speaking against the true church, claiming that they're the original Jews, that the original Christians. That was what was happening in that generation. Now let's move on. Notable occurrences. Can we have the slide again on the screen? 10 days of tribulation. Another notable occurrence. Number 3, 10 days of tribulation. And we see that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have what? Are we together? Can we chorus it? And ye shall have tribulation. Sisters, chorus it with me now. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The 10 days of tribulation are not 10 literal days. They signify 10 years. 10 years of the worst persecution they suffered. The last 10 years of the fiercest persecution they suffered. Under an emperor called Emperor Diocletian, they suffered the worst persecution. Between the period of AD 302 till AD 312, they suffered the worst persecution. Under this particular emperor, Diocletian, Christians suffered. In fact, thank God you are in this generation. Although this generation also has our own issues. But when we talk of physical suffering, it was very severe in this particular generation, Smyrna. It was severe. It was so much. And they had the worst. Those 10 days, the Lord had to tell them that, you people have been suffering. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. But 10 days, how did he put it? He said, the devil is not God that was torturing his children. Praise the Lord. Let's have Revelations 2:10 on the screen. It's not God that was torturing his children. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, he's telling them ahead, you have been suffering so much, but behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. One, and ye shall have tribulation. How many days? 10 days. He was telling them ahead. Despite all you have gone through since this generation started, 10 days of intense persecutions are coming. 10 days of serious tribulations are coming. He said, fear none of those things, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So those last 10 years, between AD 302 to AD 312, they are the worst tribulation, the worst persecution. Where Christians, we are, you know, it's just like today we have cinemas, we have films, You can even put on your phone and be watching TV or anything. Those days, when they go to their amphitheaters or their arenas to go and amuse or entertain themselves, Christians became a source of entertainment to unbelievers. You just pull them out and line them up, maybe crucify 100, and everybody is seeing them out, they're dying slowly. Or you just put them all out and release lions. Release lions. If the IT can play that video of the Christian martyrdoms, lions eating Christians, eating up Christians. It was so severe. And that was how people were just entertaining themselves. You know, although, as a historian put it, he said, the blood of the saints became the seed of the church. Because the more they killed them, the more Christians increased in number. Praise the living God. The more they killed them, the more they tortured them, the more Christians, true Christians, increased in number. And that will lead us to the next church generation to see why Satan changed his plan, changed his tactic. He tortured Christians, he killed Christians, but that did not reduce the number of people getting converted into the faith. Praise the Lord. So it was an age of intense persecution. Reward for overcomers. Hallelujah. Reward for overcomers. Yeah. Revelation 2:11. Reward for overcomers is what? They shall not be hurt of the second death. Second death. Revelation 2:11. Let's have it on the screen. The second death. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be out of the second death. Okay? Praise the living God. Praise the living God. If you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born once, you will die twice. But if you are born twice, you may die once. Somebody's already there. Okay. Before we go there, let's watch this video. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So that was what Christians suffered. But now, talking about the reward for the overcomers, I said, if you are born once, you will die twice. Do we understand this? Some people say no. Okay, Revelation 2:11. Let's have it on the screen again. If you are born once, you die twice. Revelation 2:11 says what? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be out of what? That means there is a second death. Praise the living God. There is a second death. Praise God. So that's what we are trying to look at. I said, if you are born once, you will die twice. You will have the second death. But if you are born twice, you may, because if the rapture happens before you die, you won't die again now. You may die once. Now, let me explain. The first birth is your natural birth. The first birth is your natural birth. The second birth is your spiritual birth. Except a man be what? Born again. Praise the living God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you must be born twice. If you are born once, just naturally, you will die twice. The second death is what we are talking of. The second death is eternal damnation, eternal destruction. Praise God. But those that are born twice, born naturally and born spiritually, may die only once. Is that clear? The second death is the lake of fire. Let's understand the second death before we move forward. Praise the Lord. The second death is the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 to 14. It means complete annihilation. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay? Yeah, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Verse 11. Move on. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Who stood before God? The dead. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were what? Cast into the lake of fire. This is what? So the second death is the lake of fire. And it is complete destruction. Total annihilation. Now, this leads me to a point I want to make. Let me write it on the board so that it will be highlighted. Hell is not eternal. Somebody say amen. Hell is not eternal. It is only everlasting. It is only everlasting. It is not eternal. There is a difference between everlasting and eternal. Everlasting is as long as there's time, it will continue to exist. But eternal is something that has no beginning and has no end. Eternal is outside time. Praise the living God. Everlasting is synonymous with forever and ever. So as long as there's time, it will continue to exist. It will continue to exist. But when there's no more time, it will cease to exist. But eternal is outside time. It's not bound by time. It has no beginning. It has no end. There is no time in eternity. Praise God. Hell is not eternal. So all those, when we preach the gospel, a lot of holiness believers, deeper life and the likes, they will tell you eternal hell. Hell is not eternal. It's wrong. For God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? So if eternal life is the gift that Christ gives you, and you're telling me that I will spend eternity in hell, that means me and the sinner have eternal life. Do you understand that? If eternal life is the gift of receiving Christ, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If the gift of God is eternal life, and you are telling a sinner, give your life to Christ, or you spend eternity in hell, That means you are saying the sinner has eternal life. Praise God. Hell is not eternal. Everyone cast into hell will be totally destroyed, completely annihilated. They will be completely... If you cast something into fire, it will keep on burning until what? Ashes. It's complete destruction. So hell is not eternal. Let's note that. So the second death is what? Hell. That means they will be completely destroyed. It could last for millions of years. It could last for billions of years. It could last for trillions of years. But it has an end. If it was created in one day, it will end in one day. What we receive as children of God is life eternal, the life of God that has no beginning, therefore cannot end. Praise God. So please note that hell is not eternal. The only source of eternal life is God. The only eternal life is God. Praise the Lord. Hell is not eternal. So hell is the second death. And those who are born once will die twice. That is why you must be born again. The only thing that will make you escape the second death is the second birth. Be born again. So let me take it again. If you are born once, can we chorus it together? You die how many times? If you are born once, you die how many times? If you are born twice, you may die. That's it. Let's put hands together for the Lord Jesus. So that is it about the generations. Minor.